Do you feel sometimes that the world is falling apart? We fear that climate change may be out of control. The wonderful summer that we had was great, but we think, what's happening to the passage of our weather, the hurricanes that we've had in North America and across the Philippines and China are giving us idea, is it out of control? And we see some of the terrible human consequences. We experienced a drought this summer, and that might mean that our bread prices might be a bit more expensive through the winter. But what does that mean for parts of Africa and elsewhere in the world where actually a drought means real hunger and famine and death? We have floods sometimes, but what happens in places like the Philippines when a typhoon comes and you have that out-of-control flooding that happens? And there are many other environmental problems. And on top of that, you get war with its horrific consequences, with suffering, with refugees, with the destruction of people and communities, and actually incredible environmental destruction as well. And then I dare not mention some of the other problems, recession, austerity, and dare I ever say the words Brexit and Trump. It's not an easy world at the moment, is it? And I think many of us can look at it and think, what is happening to our world? How can we understand this world through the eyes of faith, and how can we hold it all together? Well, we can find some of the answers to those questions in this amazing first chapter of Paul's letter to the Colossians. And you might like to turn to it in the Pew Bibles. It's on page 1182, and it's Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 15. It's a passage I first came across in New Testament exams, which is not a good way to be introduced to a Bible passage, I have to say. And I find it quite hard to grapple with. And yet the more I've looked at it, the more it's astonished me and inspired me over the years. Paul uses this passage to explain the amazing connection between Christ and his creation. All things in creation were created through Christ and in Christ and for Christ. And that means that they're all valuable in their own right. They have something called intrinsic value. They're all value in themselves, not just as its usefulness for us, but all things in creation are valuable in themselves, because they've been created through Christ and for Christ. And it means that all creation belongs to him. It doesn't belong to us to do what we want to do with. It belongs to him. And I think sometimes we love to own things, don't we? We love to have things and say, that's ours. But actually, everything we hold in trust. Even our own very lives, we hold in trust, because all things are in Christ and for Christ. And it's as we understand that and that incredible reverence that we should have for this world that God has entrusted it to our care, we understand his view of his creation and how he sees our role with it. And I think that in itself would be enough to get out of one Bible passage, wouldn't it? But it goes on. And it says that in Christ, all things hold together. And I find that quite astonishing. Have you ever thought about the power of the resurrection? I remember thinking about it when there was a lot in the media about the anniversaries of Hiroshima and those terrible nuclear bombs. And you saw how they, you know, the science of splitting the atom released this incredible power that was released through the atmosphere. And then the later kind of tests in the 50s, I think they say we've all got a little bit of nuclear stuff in us coming out of all of those things. So it was an incredible force, an incredible power that was released. Now think about that, and have you ever thought about the power through creation of the resurrection. Have you ever thought what actually happened when Christ was resurrected, having died for our sins on the cross, and what that meant? It would have meant the power of a nuclear, dividing the nuclear atom, was a tiny, 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 tiny blip compared to the amazing positive power that was released through the resurrection. And that resurrection power of Christ ripples through the whole of creation. That resurrection power just goes through the whole of it. So everywhere has a little bit of that resurrection power going through it. And it points towards one day when everything will be fully restored and redeemed. I'll come to that in a moment. We live today in a world, as I said, where there are catastrophes. And when they seem to be able to overwhelm our world, and we wonder why they're happening. But we can trust that in that resurrection power, Christ holds his creation. He holds his creation even though it's suffering and it's damaged and there are incredible problems and incredible pain. And he holds it, if you like, almost because of that. And the image I see with it is that he holds creation in many ways, in a way like a father holds an injured child. You know what it's like when a child falls down and grazes their knee, really upset, blood everywhere, bursts into tears, and a father or a mother scoops them up and holds them. With our suffering world, Jesus holds it as a father or a mother holds an injured child. And he holds it as head of the church. We sometimes very glibly say, we are the body of Christ. It usually comes up during the peace. You know what it's like? Vicar stands at the front. We are the body of Christ. And before we know it, we're all sharing the peace. We say, oh yes, that's all about shaking hands with each other and giving a hug if we know people particularly well. And it's very glib, isn't it? We think about it, we share communion, that reminds us we're part of his body, and we think, that's very nice, and we go home for Sunday lunch. But do we really think about it? Do we really think what it means to be the body of Christ? Now, if Christ is holding his creation, suffering as it is, and then it says that we are his body, he is the head, and we are the body of Christ. What does that mean? I may be a bit of a simple soul, but I think that if Christ is holding creation and we are his body, that it actually means that in some way we are holding it too. We are holding it with him. We are called to hold this suffering creation with Christ and through Christ. And I think for me, that in a really rather cosmic way makes that call on the church to serve, to care, and all those things that we're called to do, actually makes it clear how it's so riveted within our call as Christians. And we follow Christ's example when we do that. We look at the Gospels and are inspired to follow his example. But actually, it is a core part of who we are. Because if we're in Christ, if Christ is in us, and we're his body, we're called to hold his creation, the human world and the natural world, as he calls us to hold it. And I think, in a way, that is why it hurts. Because we don't feel the pain simply as fellow humans and creatures on this planet. We feel the pain because we're in Christ. We feel the pain that he feels as he's holding our suffering world, our suffering universe. Because we're with him. We're holding it. And we, in a special way, feel that pain. And it hurts. Pictures here of all sorts of terrible things that happen in our world, and all sorts of ways in which we can be called to be alongside him in serving and helping in our world. And this picture comes from Coventry, and it's a picture of reconciliation. And it is in Coventry Cathedral. And on the day after the terrible bombing of Coventry in the Second World War, when that beautiful medieval cathedral was completely burnt and the roof had fallen in, the dean of the cathedral, the provost of the cathedral, said, "Father, forgive." People wanted to add a "them" to that. "Father, forgive them." But he said, no, it should be "Father, forgive." Because it's the Father should forgive everybody. We all need forgiving. And out of that, they found two pieces of wood from the beams that had fallen, and they made them into a cross, which they put, which is still there in the ruined cathedral. And as the beams of the medieval church had burnt, so from it, the medieval, long medieval nails fell out of the beams and were scattered across the floor of the burnt out cathedral. It's an amazing picture to think of it. And they took three nails and made it into a cross. And there are a number of Coventry crosses around, and our Archbishop Justin Welby wears a Coventry cross to remind him of that reconciliation. And they've become a centre of reconciliation for our world in all sorts of different ways. And I think we can see that, and see in that there is hope. That must have been one of the darkest moments for that city. And yet, even in the midst of that, they brought hope through the cross of Christ. And there is hope, because all of God dwells in Christ, who died to reconcile all things, who died to reconcile all of creation, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And that was why he died on the cross. And he made peace through his blood shed on the cross. And so out of that pain that he suffered, something changed. Something changed. A fundamental change happened in our world, in our universe, for our redemption, and ultimately for the reconciliation and the redemption of the whole universe, which will one day be made new, be made whole. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and will all of us have a place in it? And it will be an amazing world that will not have the tears and the pain and the suffering that we see here, but will have joy and worship and beautiful new life. So that's there, if you like. The cross is there, and we are here in that time in between when that resurrection power has been released, but it's not been completely brought to fulfillment, but will come when we see the end of times. So our call as Christians is to better understand what a call to reconciliation means in terms of being with Christ to hold his creation, both in terms of human things, human care, our witness as Christians to share the gospel of Christ to others, to see more people come to faith, you know, the village with new people coming in, to see them come to faith, to see this church grow, to see the amazing love of Christ go out. A call to care, to love, to serve those who are suffering in all sorts of different ways. And you only need to get to know a community a little bit to know how much there is in every community that we're here to care. And then our call to care for the wounded creation, the suffering creation that we see around us in all sorts of different ways. And this is how we know how to act as his body, how to be his body together, and how to be part of that holding of creation. And the next slide I have shown you before, but it's one I was tempted to show again because I think it makes a very good point. You can't read it. It says, it took me way longer than it should to figure out that the sign on the end was a shower, not a Dalek. It's very good. Sometimes, I think as Christians, we can lose the plot a bit. We can miss out what we're really called to be. And we get bogged down with all sorts of questions about what sort of services we should have, what sort of songs we should be singing, what should we be doing next, what should be happening, all sorts of different things. And we forget that core call that we're called to be. And I think sometimes we need a bit of a wake-up call to know what it really means to be Christ's body. What it means to hold creation with him, to live out our lives as followers of Christ, and not just to be on the sidelines. To bring the love and care and gentleness of Jesus to his suffering world, even as he makes peace through his blood shed on the cross. And Jesus said, behold, I will be with you always, even to the very end of the age. Amen.